You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. The 30th of Shaaban 1442, which is also the 13th of April 2021. Our Zakat Nisab 7,500 Rand. Mehre Fatimi 18,400 Rand. Minimum Mehre for Hanafis is 400 Rand. For Malikis is 135 Rand. For Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum mehr. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussain@gmail.com. That is akhussain@gmail.com. Our beloved Ustad's website is muftiakhussain.net. That is muftiakhussain.net. Our beloved Ustad's Twitter account is @akhussain. That is @akhussain. Remember our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Well, let's welcome our beloved listeners of Al Ansar International, listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faizan and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and Company, and listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Fadilatul Ustad, before we welcome you, let's welcome our two engineers, Brother Lokolo here in Johannesburg and the other engineer in the Durban studios. Welcome to the show this evening, Ustad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians as well.
Ustad, somebody wants to know, he says, dear Mufti Sahab, do contact lenses break the fast, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd, all praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe, peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, as Mona Arafat announced, tonight in South Africa, a few other countries, remember it is the 30th of Shaaban, so tomorrow will be also 30th of Shaaban, and tomorrow after Maghrib, inshallah, Ramadan Mubarak will start. We should read Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. For those of you who are following Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Aqsa al-Mubarak, we know Ramadan has started. Officially, the announcements have been made. Tonight is Taraweeh. So all of you should try and read the Sunnat Masnoon Duas. Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, and all the other Duas as well, inshallah. Yes, I saw a pamphlet, and that pamphlet was saying that, you know, if people put and insert eye drops, or if the people insert, use the contact lenses, the fast will break. Totally incorrect. I don't know which ulama they consulted, but it's totally rejected, because people were sending me this from last night and this morning as well. So remember, this ijma and consensus according to all four schools, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, the Malikis, the Hanafis, whilst you are fasting and you use surma and tamani and, you know, kuhul in your eyes, you must remember that contact lenses, you use eye drops, your fast is totally valid and kabul and accepted. We reject that fatwa, whoever gave it, remember, to say contact lenses or eye drops will break the fast. Totally incorrect.
I see a listener says, Ustad, that we are performing Taraweeh in a warehouse, Ustad. Isha in masjid or warehouse, Ustad?
Remember that obviously the masjid is the best place. You must remember, there's no question about that, for all our five daily salat and so forth. But if there are circumstances, you know, you can't help and so forth. For example, now there are 2, 3, 4, 5 youngsters, and they're going to read Taraweeh, and then they're going to read two paras a night, or three paras, three Jews a night, or what have you. And obviously in a masjid, that some masajid will not allow you that. So you're going to read Salat in the warehouse. If nearby there's a masjid there, go to the masjid and come to the warehouse. Then I know what people will say, but we got old bajis with us and old people. So if you read Isha Salat in the masjid, and then you come there to the warehouse for Taraweeh, that will be the best. But if you read, that's what I do, that I read my Isha Salat, mashallah, in a masjid. We have masajid there nearby. So we go and read our Isha there. And thereafter, remember, I come home and read the Taraweeh, one man, one vote. I'm in front, my wife at the back, alhamdulillah. So we thank Almighty Allah for that bounty. But if there is certain valid excuses, you got old people and so forth, you can't move easily, then you read Isha there in the warehouse, and you read Taraweeh Sunnats, and then Taraweeh, then Witr. So it's all valid, there's no problem. The question will be, what is better? Obviously the masjid is better, there's no question about that.
Somebody says, Ustad, that today's Ustad's Nasiha today was the first of Ramadan. Could Ustad please comment on that, Ustad?
Alhamdulillah, I receive queries from about 7-8 people, why are you showing first? So I'm really surprised at people, how naive and simple Simons they are. Let me give you an example. Tomorrow, just example I'm giving, that Tuesday is first of Shawwal Eid. Just example. So you want, then I must send the Nasiha tomorrow, that I mustn't tell the people before time what they must do. So we know last night already the news broke that in Saudi Arabia, that remember that there is Taraweeh tonight, and you must remember there'll be fasting and all that on Tuesday. And if you follow my Nasiha for the past how many years, with Allah's help and Allah's mercy, Adam min Faldi Rabbi, I explained to Mona Ahmed Dokrat, we must be proactive, so we must inform people before time. So therefore, alhamdulillah, I spoke of the du'as and everything. So how many thousand people benefit? Alhamdulillah. So if you look at it, you will see first Ramadan was today, that as far as the nasiha goes, so the people know what to do tonight, what to do tomorrow, and so forth. So because millions of people are fasting already tomorrow, so therefore, tomorrow we'll send out the second, and so forth, and so on. So it is common sense that, but sometimes common sense is not so common, you know. So remember that, alhamdulillah, we always will be 1-2 days ahead, so people must know. And what we're doing now with the Ramadan series, we will tell you the historical background, what happened on that day, like on the first of Ramadan, that in the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, we find that Egypt was conquered by Umar bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it was in the 20th year of the Hijrah. Then we gave you the du'as, you must remember, you should read for the new moon. And then we give you a sunnah, ni'ma suhurul mu'mini at-tamr, the best sunnah eat, the best food to eat at the time of suhur, sahri is dates, the hadith in Abu Dawud. So inshallah, that is how we will continue. So don't be a simple Simon, alhamdulillah, and then you get the troublemakers. For them we say, Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsideen. And for us, it's very good. They send it all there, so more people will listen to the nasiha, inshallah. Unintended consequences, you call it. That remember that Allah assists us against the troublemakers and mischief makers. Always read that dua. Surah 29, verse 30.
Ustad, they say that on the night of Ramadan, to read Surah Fatah, it is sunnah, Ustad.
Remember, that's totally wrong. Whoever says it's sunnah, that's totally wrong. To say something is sunnah, you must remember, manidda'a shay'an fa'alayhi dalil. Whoever claims something, you have to bring proof. And proof means from Quran Sharif, from the sunnah, and so forth. You can't say this sheikh and this maulana and this sheikhul hadith and so forth said. That is not proof in Islam, you must remember. That is what you you call a rai. That is what you call an opinion. So we need to draw a big distinction between the two. Yes, Allama Sheikh Kashmiri rahimahullah was a great scholar of hadith and so forth, but it doesn't mean what he say becomes sunnah. That's totally wrong, that. So how many people, I think about 20 people sent to me, is this authentic, is this sunnah? It's not authentic, it's not sunnah. Most to most, you can call it an amal. Amal means some pious people tried it and it became good for them. But to elevate it to rank of sunnah, totally incorrect. You must remember that. And if people insist it's a sunnah, then it becomes a bid'ah and it becomes not permissible. So we need to be extremely careful in this regard. We must draw a distinction with what it can be. Kain and Mankan, the greatest alim, the greatest mufti, the greatest sheikh, whoever, they are saying, and the rai and opinion can never become sunnah when there is no evidence for that in Quran and sunnah. So therefore, most to most, we will say permissible, but definitely not sunnah. And if you want to know which surah fatah they're speaking about, some people are confused. They think it's surah fatiha and so forth. It's chapter number 48 of the noble Quran. So that is what they're speaking about, but definitely not sunnah.
So Ustaz, can we read the Taraweeh? 8 or 10 rakats, Ustaz?
This is another big issue. You must remember, academically, if you want to discuss it, all these people who say you must read 8 rakats and so forth, remember, according to the 4 schools, there's no school who speaks of 8 rakats or 20 rakats, and they are much greater. Put all the ulama of today together, they are much, much superior to that. There's consensus and ittifaq among the 4 schools. The Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis, the Hanbalis. Taraweeh Salat is 20 rakats. There's no Taraweeh 8 rakats and 10 rakats and so forth. So that's the first issue we must be clear about. Now when we ask the Salafis and this Alim, this Sheikh, this Grand Mufti and that Mufti, they say, no, the Hadith in Bukhari. Go study the Hadith in Bukhari and see. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha speaks about Nabi alayhi salatu salam tahajjud salat. La tas'al antulihinna wa husnihinna fi Ramadan wa ghayrihi. They don't even ask how lengthy the salat was and how beautifully Nabi alayhi salatu salam read it in Ramadan wa ghayrihi. So Taraweeh salat is not besides Ramadan. Out of Ramadan, which Taraweeh salat? So wa ghayrihi is what we call in our terminology qareena, the sign to tell you that this hadith you are quoting has nothing to do with Taraweeh salat. It's the tahajjud salat. So you must remember from time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, Sahaba agreed, and then you must 4 schools agreed and so forth. And I gave you this usul and principle before. Never forget that usul and principle. On any issue, once 4 schools, Shafi'is, Hanbalis, Malikis, Hanafis agree, that is Sharia. No government, no politician, no Mufti, Grand Mufti, or whoever else, Maulana, can come and abrogate it and change it. Remember that. So 20 rakats is what Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And if you want, go open Imam Tirmidhi's Jami and you will see he's got the discussion there as well. So nobody spoke of this 8 rakats and 10 rakats. So after centuries, then some people came and so forth. So that's one discussion. Second discussion, you must remember, I just give you 3 examples. 120 rakats. Remember, there's only 20 rakats. Taraweeh, no 8 and 10 business. Second one, 3 talaq is 3. There's no 3 talaq is 1. According to the 4 schools, people go to Cape Town, they go here, they say no, they say Imam Shafi. Wallahi, it's a lie, a buhtan, a fabrication against Shafi, Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, to say that. So 3 talaqs are 3. We're not Christians. We don't believe in Trinity, 3 is 1. So 3 is 3, remember that. Similarly, today people, you know, people just look for loopholes and shortcuts. People will just wear a normal sock, you know, the sock made of nylon or cotton and so forth. Then they just make masa on that. That is not permissible, according to all 4 schools. This Mufti Sahib, this Sheikh, that so, we say very good, but we reject their fatwa, you must remember. So always remember that. And second, second issue, you must remember that Alhamdulillah, that Allah just put in my head now, today just before Maghrib, Allah's fadl, Allah shukr, hadha min fadli rabbi, rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta samiul alim, that we released a book, Darul Iman released a book, Alhamdulillah, under the banner auspices of Darul Iman, Ummati, Ummati, protect your Iman. You will see today there are thousands of scholars misguided, totally giving wrong fatwas and leading the Ummah astray on so many issues. So you must get this book. It's a must for every Muslim home. You want a copy PDF, just tell us. Just contact me 071-888-1184. 071-888-1184. Ummati, Ummati, protect your Iman. And this is a publication of Darul Iman. And you will see with all the evidence there how people are being led astray. So may Almighty Allah protect us from the fitna of Dajjal and the fitna of the Imams and the scholars who are leading others astray. And that is hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, that the ulama will come and their fitna will be worse than Dajjal. The hadith is mentioned, you must remember, in Musnad Ahmad, authentic hadith.
Well, so the question says that I am reading Quran, but have not completed Ustad. Should I complete it?
This is a famous question. Our brothers, sisters will say, now Ramadan is starting in South Africa, our neighboring countries, tomorrow night, I'm stuck at 18 Jews, 20 Jews, 24. I can't complete my Quran, so I'm in a dilemma. What should I do? Our advice to you will be complete that Quran Sharif, read as much as possible, and then start a new one and complete it in Ramadan. So some of them say, no, I want to complete the entire Quran Sharif in Ramadan, so let me start from Alif Lam Mim, from Surah Fatiha. So I mean, it's permissible, but if you're asking what is better and preferable, remember, better preferable is you complete your Quran Sharif, and then remember, who knows when death will strike. So if you complete that Quran Sharif, mashallah, Allah Jalla will reward you for the whole Quran, compared to leaving it halfway and so forth and so on. So that is our advice regarding that issue.
I see listeners are listening this evening. They say that, dear Mufti Saab, people reciting Quran on the cell phone, in the masjid. Ustad, could you please elaborate on this?
Remember, we are dead against that. Let us take a case study. And you will see people are inside the masjid. Now they're reading. Let's just say they're preparing. Now the Hafizab or the Qarisab, Imam Sab is preparing for Tarawih. So now he's reading from the cell phone. So sometime the cell phone will ring. So you're already desecrating the sanctity of the masjid. You're disturbing other people in the masjid once and already, is haram that. Number two is this, you know, while the cell phone is on, so many a time messages come, unintended messages, the woman will suddenly pop up, this advert will pop up, all that. So remember, that is haram, is desecrating the sanctity of the masjid. So the Quran Sharifs are there, every masjid has Quran Sharif. So why can't you put your cell phone off and take the Quran Sharif and read that you are in a masjid? Yes, you are traveling, you are in the aeroplane plane or something, oh, you are here and there in the airport, and now you read from the cell phone. So that's fine, that we don't object. But if you are in the masjid, so subhanallah, what need there is. And now some of our maulvis, they got sophisticated, they even come with a tablet and an iPad, and I don't know what next they will come with. They want to read the khutbah and sermon from that. What you want to show off with all these things here? Read the khutbah by heart, or take the khutbah kitab and read and so forth. Remember this, that the phone will ring, or some messages will come, and something peep, peep, making noise and so forth. Definitely all this does not behove a Muslim in the masjid, not permissible.
Ustad, I have diabetes. Should I fast or pay fidya, Ustad?
Remember, for all of you, male and female, the male, we just say diabetes, Allah protect us all, we should be reading the dua, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyil asqam, Ya Allah, protect me from all the evil, dreaded diseases and sicknesses, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and in Sunan Nasai. And remember, those who have this diabetes, Allah Jalla wa'ala grant all of them shifa, whatever illness people have, we should make that dua. dua daily as well. Next one, let's take three examples. Some people are suffering with diabetes. Their sisters who are breastfeeding now in Ramadan. So there are others who are pregnant. And every day we'll have these kind of questions. And in Ramadan, we will have special Q&A, mashallah, between 2 and 2:30 on Mondays to Thursdays, inshallah. And Sunday with Maulana Arafat, we will have the Q&A. And that will be on Sunday between 2 and 4. So that also you should diarize. Nevertheless, this lady is pregnant, this lady is breastfeeding, another person, male, female, suffering from diabetes. So they'll ask me or ask somebody else, should we fast? We can't pass a blanket fatwa, you must remember. It is you, the person, you must judge your condition and situation. What is your condition? You are breastfeeding, but now you won't be eating and you won't have sufficient supply of milk for your baby, then remember you must not fast because your baby comes first. Then qaza will be compulsory and payment will not suffice. Similarly, you lady, you expecting, if you can, mashallah, manage, you're not causing harm to yourself, not harm to the unborn baby, fetus, very good fast. But if you fear or the doctors, gynecologists say, no, very dangerous, then it's better you don't fast. Qaza will be compulsory. Similarly, you with diabetes, you know, sometimes it's high and sometimes this and so on, all this. So then you can't fast, you have to take medication, take this, take that and all those things. Remember injections. Injections on the hand, on the buttocks, whatever will not break the fast. But they have to take sometimes oral medication and so forth. So for you, there are different categories, but if you can manage fasting 1, 2 days, 3 days in a week, so you must keep the fast. And those days you can't keep, then you'll make qada after Eid, inshallah. But if your condition is such, you're chronically ill, right through the year you can't manage at all, and the doctors say the prognosis is such that you will never get better according to them, so therefore that's their verdict, but Allah Ta'ala once can make you better, obviously. So in a case like that, then you pay fidya once Ramadan starts, 30 rand per fast, and that amount you give to the poor Muslims. So for example, in South Africa, from Wednesday onwards, you give 900 rand to the poor Muslim people who are entitled to receive zakat as fidya. Some people call it kafara, is the wrong term they use. Fidya is a compensation only for people who cannot fast at all. No now, no next year, no till they die. So whether the old age or chronically ill, perpetually ill, only for them. You, the lady, is pregnant and breastfeeding. You suffering from diabetes, but you can fast once a week, twice a week, thrice a week, then qada is compulsory in those scenarios.
So Ustaz, can we sit for an itikaf for the whole month to start of Ramadan?
Let me tell you a story, Maulana. People love stories. So now, see, three salats pass now, right? Mm-hmm. Asr, Maghrib and Isha. So Asr, I went to Sufi Masjid, the masjid just here. Subhanallah, when I went there, I see a whole bed there inside the masjid. The masjid is small, it is a whole bed there. I say, Subhanallah. Last year, one Baji said whole month, you know, mashallah. So he was. So I see Baji is ready again. But last year, he slept on the floor, you know, sleeping bed and back. So it must be his back got finished, you know. So he says, old man, so it's permissible. If you go to Mustafa Habibuna, sallallahu Masjid and Nabawi, you will see is attende Ustuwana e Sarir. So you must remember that is the place where Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam make etikaf. Don't mean bring the bed and all that. I'm just explaining to you. So to show you where etikaf was done. So anyway, so this brother here brought the whole bed and everything. So that was Asr time. Then Maghrib time, I went here to the Khanka. So I see they busy with the structures and all this, already putting this pipe and this cable, and I don't know what and what. So all these masjids, they're going to serve the whole month, mashallah. Then Isha, I went to Jami Masjid. So we covered all three. Jami Masjid, I didn't see any activity there. The brother who used to sit there for over 30 years, he bichara passed away a few months ago or so. He passed away in a masjid, by Abbas, Allah gave him Jannatul Firdaus. So yes, it's permissible, but remember the sunnah etikaf is only last 10 days. The first 20 days is nafil etikaf. You go in and out of the masjid all that is fine. You want to go shop, come back and all that will be permissible. So yes, it is permissible. You sit for the whole month.
Ustaz, before we go for an interval, inshallah, a quick question from Rainswood. They want to know what's the amount for fitra and fidya, Ustaz?
For both, you must remember fitra, which you're going to pay 1 week, 2 weeks or so. Even now when Ramadan starts, you pay, it's fine. So you must remember it's 30 rand per person, but that you will pay for yourself and pay for your wife also. Before paying, mashallah, tell her, darling, honey, I'm paying for you. And then you got, mashallah, 3 children who are minors. So you pay, mashallah, 150 rand. For you, your wife, and your 3 children. So that will be compulsory. To pay for the wife is not compulsory according to Hanafis. Shafis say compulsory. But anyway, they just pay it, but inform her you're paying it just 30 rand and so forth. And then you must remember, fidya, I explained to you, you're chronically ill right through, or you're so old, no stamina, no energy. So 30 rand in both cases, the money must be given to poor Muslims who are entitled to receive zakat. Remember that masla as well.
25 minutes to 9 o'clock, we go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, don't go away, my beloved listeners, of the Q&A. Stay tuned.